Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorite. Coming up today, we'll hear from the mayor of Tampa. She'll be along later in the program to answer some questions about what's going on in Tampa in the wake of the epidemic. First, on the first part of the program, we'll be opening up the phone lines and talking about the epidemic. Before we do that, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we did a tribute to John Prine, the singer-songwriter who lives part-time in Gulfport, who passed away on Tuesday. Here's what one listener had to say.
This is Joanne from Lakeland, and I'm calling about your show today in tribute to John Prine. My personal story is one day that I had found $200 on the ground. I called my boyfriend, who is now my husband, and we, along with my brother and his friend, drove a pink Cadillac from Punta Gorda to Tierra Verde to see him in concert. It was a wonderful time. I am sure going to miss him. Thanks again.
Well, there's a comment that came in after yesterday's program. This is WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll talk with the mayor of Tampa later on in this program when she calls in. We'll be opening up the phone lines during the first part of today's program and taking your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. I'm going to mention a few stories that I think you might want to talk about, and then we'll see where you want to take the conversation. Right now, as we heard on the NPR News, the U.S. unemployment rate hit a huge mark. 6.6 million people, or 10% of the national labor force, is now out of work. 6.6 million people are seeking jobless benefits as of right now, and that number is sure to go higher. In Florida, the number of COVID-19 cases has passed the 15,000 mark. There have been more than 300 deaths here in Florida. Half the cases in Florida are in three South Florida counties, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Election supervisors from Florida's 67 counties are asking the governor to issue an executive order to loosen some election rules to give local officials flexibility where they put polling places and when people can vote. We've got two upcoming elections in Florida, one in August. That's going to be a primary election for things like state legislature and Congress. And then the general election featuring the presidential race in November. The Nielsen company has put out numbers about the number of people drinking during the epidemic. Grocery stores and liquor stores saw wine sales go up by 27.5% from the year earlier, 26.5% increase in hard liquor, and beer went up by about 14%. Also, people are using more marijuana, according to studies, but there was an initial spike in marijuana usage in the country as the country was closing down in mid-March. That spike seems to have leveled off, possibly because marijuana smokers are out of work. Well, thousands of acres of fruits and vegetables grown in Florida are being plowed under or left to rot because farmers can't sell to restaurants, theme parks, or schools nationwide that have closed because of the coronavirus. Many Florida growers have donated to food banks, but there's a limit on what the charities can accept. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. The steep drop in air travel passed a milestone this week. Fewer than 100,000 people went through airport checkpoints on Tuesday. That's the lowest number since the Transportation Security Administration started keeping track. As the coronavirus tightens its grip on the country, it's cutting a devastating swath through an already vulnerable population. African Americans, leaders in cities that are hard hit by the pandemic, have been sounding the alarm over what they see as a disturbing trend of the virus killing African Americans at a higher rate, along with a lack of overall information about the race of victims as the nation's death toll mounts. An AP analysis found that 42% of the victims whose demographic data was shared by local officials were Black, even though African Americans account for only 21% of the population in the area covered by the analysis. And as state officials have scrambled to fix Florida's overburdened unemployment system, Governor Ron DeSantis says retroactive unemployment benefits may be in the works. State law says those seeking assistance can only get checks beginning from the time that they filed their unemployment claim, but widespread system crashes have prevented many people from filing claims. The governor says he's spoken with the head of the Department of Economic Opportunity about the idea of retroactive unemployment benefits.
What I've told Ken Lawson is, you know, if someone was trying to apply on what, like last Wednesday, and the system wasn't really working, then I think you should count that as the day. So he's looking at you know, how that will work. But I mean, I think that you know, that's a reasonable accommodation.
More than 500,000 claims for unemployment assistance have been filed in recent weeks here in Florida alone. And Florida's top corporations are scheduled to receive more than $500 million in tax refunds. Democrats want the governor to save money for the state and for small businesses and for unemployed workers. Democratic state representatives are calling on Governor DeSantis to hold on to this year's corporate tax refunds.
The state of Florida will literally, you know, Department of Revenue will be sending checks to corporations. And so that's what we're talking about here today. Let's just pump the brakes.
That's Miami's State Senator Jose Javier Rodriguez, who says nearly $500 million goes to about 1% of the state's top corporations.
It's a gratuitous gift to the top 1% of corporations. Let's see what the best use of those, given all the needs we have for small business, for everyday Floridians who are out of work, and other needs.
The refunds are scheduled to start to be sent to corporations on April 15th. Well, the general election for president is underway between President Trump and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, the former vice president's last major rival. Bernie Sanders announced yesterday he was ending his campaign. And Bloomberg reports that according to scientists studying the coronavirus, the explosion of COVID-19 cases in the New York City area resulted largely from infected patients who flew in from Europe. Researchers at NYU Langone Health say that they've analyzed 75 samples from patients who were diagnosed with COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus, at New York area hospitals last month. And about two-thirds of those samples appear to have European origins, according to the Genome Technology Center. The virus appears to have been imported to New York from the UK and several European countries, including France, Austria, and the Netherlands. Well, let's take some phone calls about these and other issues. Let's see what you want to talk about, and maybe you can pose a question that you want to hear the mayor answer. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And Julie is our phone producer today. If you want to send an email, I hope that you'll sign your name to it, so at least I can give you a name and maybe give a city, too, that you're emailing from. Again, you can email the studio here at dj@wmnf.org. Well, let's go to the phones first, and let's talk to Carlos in Tampa. Carlos, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Hey, people are dying left and right, and what I have noticed, Rob, last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, one of the biggest the Home Depot here, if it wasn't Home Depot, was Lowe's, running advertisement Black Friday sale, and you get the whole parking lot busy. It's like some 5,000-6,000 people. I mean, where is the social, social thing that they are running, and do you want to stop the virus? I mean, who's running the show here? The corporations or?
And Carlos, did you go into the store? Did you go into the parking lot?
I was coming to the store, but when I saw the parking lot completely busy, completely hazard for me, so I just drove away. I didn't take a chance. And most people, no mask, you name it. I'm just wondering, my question is, who's running the show here? What is this? I mean, this is the point that I make all the time when I call Rob. All we see, we are doing these only on radio, only TV. But when you come to the reality of things, completely different.
Well, maybe that's a question we could ask the mayor.
Yes, sir.
All right. Carlos, thanks a lot.
Okay. Have a good day, sir.
All right, you too. And if you got a question you'd like to pose for Jane Castor, the mayor of Tampa, you can email it into the studio, dj@wmnf.org. It can't be a long question. Some people are sending in really, really long questions, and it's almost impossible to fairly read a long question. So if you could send a short question in, that would be great. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Jerome in Tampa. Hi, Jerome. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Thank you, Rob. I've got a concern. I haven't yet to hear anybody mention it. Luckily, here in the Tampa Bay area, in the last couple of years. We haven't had a real bad outbreak of the red tide, but I know down south they have. And that being a respiratory affecting issue as well, just concerned, how is that going to affect the people with COVID, especially down south when we have an older population? And, you know, so obviously I would think that would be more staying inside. So I don't know if you could ask the mayor or whatever.
Yeah, I could ask her that question. Let's hope we don't have one of those outbreaks. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Jerome, thanks a lot. And reading some of these emails, we're thanks to Anonymous in Clearwater for making a donation to WMNF in our tip jar going to WMNF.org. Thank you, Anonymous. Somebody saying thanks for all the tributes on MNF to John Prine. You're welcome. And then Michael writes, I think you and Mark should be more persistent in asking questions of the callers still smitten by Trump. What is it about America that you think is no longer great? Be specific. How will Trump restore that greatness? Has he? And what will a restored great America look like? No generalities. That's a 49er Mike writing in. I always like to hear from Trump fans, but we'll see. Mike, some of the Trump fans think that we're too hard on them, that we're not, they think that we're hard on Trump fans and we're not hard on anybody else. I don't think that's true. I think if somebody says something that's not true or not factual, we're pretty tough on anybody who's not true or not factual. Well, again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And in a few minutes, the mayor of Tampa is going to be on these airwaves. And if you've got a question for her, you can send that question in, or you can announce it on the air right now. 813-239-9663. I don't know how much time she had. We had talked about 10 minutes. We'll see how much time she has. You know, she's very busy. And Kevin writes this. The wealth gap, not a question, just an observation. Inequality in wealth has become inequality in health, writes Kevin. And then David writes this. I have a quick question for Mayor Castor. I saw her on CNN recently and was wondering if she might be appearing on there again soon. I think she's a great leader and a role model in a time of crisis. That's David's email. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. You know, when Carlos called up and talked about the big box stores, about once a week I have to go out, maybe twice a week I have to go out and grocery shop. And that's about the only store I go into these days, although I have been. I got to say, I've been to a gardening store in the past 3 weeks because I was doing some gardening. But I noticed that in some stores, people are really good about staying 6 feet away. Some people, I think, are just, you know, I was at a gardening store and people were very good. They didn't get in each other's space. And then I was in a grocery store not too long ago, last weekend, and I could tell that there were some people that just didn't believe there was a problem. Many people, probably half the people in the grocery store, and it was a big store, had masks on. But then I saw a lot of people, sometimes couples, walking together side by side. And then when they passed other people in the store, they would pass very closely. They wouldn't try to avoid other people. So I think some people are taking this very seriously. Some people are not. The numbers are still bad, but the number of new cases this week in the last 5 days has leveled off. It's still at a peak, but it seems for the last 5 days, the average number of cases is about the same for the last number of new cases is about the same for the last 5 days. Well, let's take some more phone calls. This is 88.5 FM. Let's go to Nick in St. Pete. Nick, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, Robert, just real quick, everyone that speaks Spanish isn't an illegal, like you insinuated, but let's move on. Let's move forward. People need to clean their shoes. You're in Walmart, that virus is on the floor. You walk into your car, you go home, you got to clean those shoes. I'd like you to ask the mayor one question. When is she going to shut down these large construction sites? Thanks, Rob. Peace.
All right, Nick. Thanks a lot. Let's go to John in South Tampa. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I called yesterday. Unfortunately, I crashed into the John Prine tribute. I didn't realize what I was doing there. Sorry, Rob. Anyway, I have one question for the mayor. We recently had two more deaths on Bayshore Boulevard. And I just want to, if you could possibly ask her, what's it going to take to lower that speed limit to 25? I know it's unpopular among the commuters, but I think it's time. And this would be a good excuse, for political cover. I hate to be so blatant, but, you know, I understand they have to get reelected and all that. But it would allow people to stop and smell the roses a little bit. And, 35 miles an hour really means 44 miles an hour. Every American knows that. But 25 really sends out a signal to drivers. It does to me, anyway. When you see a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, you say to yourself, gosh, there must be something special here. And, that's all I have. And thank you, Rob.
And John, let me ask you a question, though.
Yes, sir.
A man who was killed last week by the motorcyclist, the man was walking his bicycle across at Bayshore and Rome in Tampa, and a motorcyclist at least according to witnesses, at a very high rate of speed. He wasn't going 35. He was probably going much faster than that. Came out of nowhere and plowed through this guy. And both bodies, the motorcyclist was killed instantly, practically. The bicyclist who was walking his bike across the street took a little bit of time to die. But this accident happened at a high rate of speed, a very high rate of speed. And so even if the speed limit was 25 miles an hour, what would prevent, I don't know about you, John, but I see drag racing all over. There is a famous drag racing spot on Gandy Bridge. And if you drive from Tampa to St. Pete on a Friday night, you'll see all sorts of drag racers at the west end of the Gandy Bridge, on the north side of the bridge, just waiting to drag race. And when they think that there are no cops around, they'll drag race. And I'll be on the Howard Franklin, and motorcyclists who think they're invincible are driving 100 miles an hour through the traffic. What do you do about those people that just want to go fast?
I understand. A lawbreaker is a lawbreaker, and kids are kids. I was a kid once, too. But I'm just saying that 25 miles an hour really does. I understand what you're saying, and you're right, of course, and I know that. But it's a matter of mitigating, sending out a message. I know. It's a bad situation. In fact, Rob, I live right next to directly next door, literally, to the crosstown. I had to look up to see it. And you should hear that at night. And I'm a motorcyclist myself. I always have been. And they have motorcycles now that are not just for enjoyment and cruising. They're for racing. They have 200 horsepower engines. These machines are capable of going over, I'm not making this up, over 200 miles an hour, and they're doing it. And I know that sound. They're racing up there.
And
they're busy, I know.
I think that's what this motorcyclist was doing on Bayshore the other day, Saturday a week ago, when he killed the bicyclist.
Likewise with the guy before him, with the Mustang who was racing. I understand. I know it's not the whole answer, but it's, I think...
Okay, well, I'll ask her about reducing the speed limit, and we'll see what she says.
25 really is a message to American drivers, I think. It's like obnoxious. It's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, John, thank you. Good to hear from you. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Jim writes this, why are gun shops considered essential, Jim asks. And he also asks, where are the masks, or better yet, where are the face shields, writes Jim. And then Greg writes, on behalf of the city subcontractors helping to protect the infrastructure, I want to thank the mayor and let her know that we are working safe, but I wish everyone was observing protocols and wearing a mask. We work with the public daily, but I wish people would serve a safe distance from us while we do our jobs. Thanks again. That's Greg, who's out there in cyberspace. And then Barry writes this, why not put speed bumps on Bayshore? Well, these are all good questions, and I think in a few minutes we'll have the mayor along and we'll ask her some of these questions. Yeah, if you want to talk about the current situation we're in, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And we've been talking about coronavirus, and we've been talking about the problem of speeding, especially on Bayshore Boulevard in Tampa. Let's go to Chris in St. Pete. Hey, Chris, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi. We've had all these models that have come out that were first telling us that, you know, perhaps tens of millions of people were going to die, and then it was down to, you know, a few hundred thousand. Now we're down to, you know, maybe 20, 30, 50,000, you know, which is similar to a regular flu season. As these numbers come down, ask the mayor how she's going to adjust the restrictions that we've had on our economic freedom and freedom of movement because of the virus.
Okay, that's a good question. That was one of the first questions I was going to ask. Chris, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. And let's go to Elizabeth in Tampa. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on MNF.
Hi. I'm calling about two subjects that have already been raised, the Stellman and Bayshore Boulevard, and I'd like to know why we don't close two lanes of the Stellman during this pandemic. Of Bayshore during this pandemic, so that bicyclists and pedestrians and joggers can use those two lanes. Vehicular traffic is way down. And that just encourages cars to speed, and that's how Hellflowers got killed on Saturday. And about the Stellman, this has nothing to do with the pandemic, but what about putting up sound barriers along the sides and helping people who live along the Stellman deal with the noise and the particulate pollution?
And Elizabeth, I'm sure you saw earlier in the week, the mayor said the mayor's office said that there would be no changes to traffic patterns on Bayshore Boulevard. And when you saw that story come out, what did you make of it?
I just think it makes no sense. And she's talking about how she doesn't want large numbers of people gathering, but there are large numbers of people on the sidewalks on Bayshore Boulevard. There's no way to avoid being within 6 feet of other people. But if the two lanes were closed, then people could spread out and maintain that 6 feet of safety.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, I'm expecting her to call in any minute, so I will ask that question.
Okay. And I just want to say that I've been writing to the mayor and others about this ever since the safer at home policy was implemented. And now we've had two deaths. I just think that they would have been avoided if this had been put in place 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay. Elizabeth, thanks a lot. I think the mayor's calling in right now.
Great, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. Ron in West Tampa says, the caller John again seems to think that 25 miles an hour is a magic number that's going to work. I happen to work in the industry, and I want to emphasize to John that 25 miles an hour is not going to work. It doesn't work at 35, and 25 will not work, writes Ron in West Tampa. Well, let's bring on right now Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. Mayor Castor, welcome to WMNF. Everybody's been asking me questions about telling me what I should ask you, but thank you for coming on.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So tell me what the big item on your agenda is today. What are you most concerned about today regarding the epidemic?
Really all of it. You know, getting the adequate testing. We're still falling short on that, although Hillsborough County has received 10,000 additional testing swabs. So continuing at Raymond James Stadium with the testing, and then Hillsborough County is deciding on other locations for testing, hopefully out in East Tampa, out around 50th and Hillsborough, and another location is out on Fowler that are being considered. So no definitive word on if those are going to be set up or not, but you know, they're being researched right now. Another one is a big concern with our black and brown community, and showing, although we don't have the data available to show the impact here in our community, the disproportionate impact that this virus has had on other communities around the United States showing that African-American and black citizens are disproportionately Hispanic as well, but mostly right now it's the African-American and black citizens that are being struck by the virus and then dying in disproportionate numbers. You know, a lot of factors that go into that. One is the lack of adequate health care. Therefore, there's a lot of morbidity issues related. And then there's also a lot of intergenerational housing situations, too, in different locations where there's more of a susceptibility to the spread of the virus. So we're looking at that, and then clearly the economic outlook for so many of our citizens, and we're really trying to focus on the two basic needs, and that's food and shelter right now. We are crafting a relief program here in the city that will hopefully be able to make funding available by next week to our citizens in Tampa and to our small businesses as well, so that it can be sort of a bridge between you know, what's coming down from the state and the feds. So really, you know, just looking at it from every single angle here in the city of Tampa.
Well, we're talking with the mayor of Tampa. Mayor Castor, last night on some of the cable networks, it was suggested that parts of the country be open again. We've got numbers from the Florida Department of Health that say in the last 5 days here in Florida overall, the number of new cases of COVID-19 has leveled off. It's still high, but the number of cases has leveled off. Some people are suggesting that now is the time to maybe pull back and do less, you know, pull back on some of the restrictions that people have. What do you say to that?
Well, I say absolutely not. That's what's working. It's the one thing that's working. And one of the things that I point out as often as possible is that one of the, if not the main danger with this virus is the ease with which it is transmitted, and then the fact that it remains silent in so many cases. There are so many individuals we're finding out that can have this virus and have no idea that they have it, and therefore have no idea that they're infectious. And so the one step that we're taking that clearly is reducing the number of cases and therefore reducing the number of deaths is social distancing.
So now is not the time to take the foot off the pedal, so to speak.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. And we're in close contact with Dr. Lockwood, the incredible Dr. Lockwood from USF Morsani School of Medicine. And they've been doing a series of modeling projects. And they really feel that that by our putting the social or the safer at home order in place early here in Hillsborough County, that it is going to have a very positive impact, and we'll be able to come out from under it earlier than other communities, possibly. But this is no time to relax.
Do you have a date? Do you have a window or time frame that you're thinking that it might be safe to begin opening up some businesses and reducing some of the restrictions?
No, I don't have that date. The only thing from the modeling is more of when we would hit the peak and start to reduce the number of cases, and that is estimated towards the end of April. It was the beginning of May, first week of May, and now it's forecast to be the end of April. But with that said, clearly I've never been to medical school, and this is uncharted waters for everyone. And so, and there's a severe lack of data. I like to make all my decisions based on accurate and timely data, and it's just not available. You know, we're not able to test individuals until they feel they may have it, they have the symptoms of it. I just went onto the CDC website to try to see what their criteria was, you know, to see if we're adequately testing individuals in some of our inner city neighborhoods. And the first question was, do you have signs, or are you caring for someone with signs of the virus? I hit no, and it's like, well, thank you for visiting. So, you know, we're only testing individuals that are exhibiting signs and symptoms of the virus. and so we don't have the widespread data we need.
In terms of the economic hit to the city, and in terms of hunger and unemployment, how bad is it, do you think,
It's very, very bad, and I just read an email from an individual who is out of work and has depleted his personal savings, has three children at home to take care of, and said that he has called every day at 7:30 to try to apply for the unemployment, and he even left his phone on hold for over 8 hours one day and was never answered. And so we've got to fix that statewide system, and we have got to provide those basic needs for everyone in our community, and that is food and shelter. And, you know, we're working to do that. We've been working with the Crisis Center, Feeding Tampa Bay, Metropolitan Ministries, a number of faith-based organizations, just anybody and everybody that we can work with to provide needed food for individuals. We've worked with the sheriff and the chief judge to stop all evictions, and you know, just making sure that there's enough anxiety and stress associated with this virus without having people worrying about where their next meal is going to come from or if they're going to be put out on the street.
Our guest is Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. Mayor, there's another big issue, and I know your time is short, but there's another big issue out there, and that was the two deaths last Saturday on Bayshore Boulevard. A motorcyclist hit a bicyclist who was walking across the street, and some people are advocating shutting down the water side of Bayshore Boulevard as a way to reduce the kind of pedestrian killings that we've seen over the last few years. I know you made a statement about earlier this week. What's your take on closing down half of Bayshore Boulevard?
Okay, first, I just want to ensure that the community understands that I'm concerned about any crash, any injury, and any fatality in our community. I have been a supporter of Vision Zero my entire time at the police department, and it is a focus of my administration to be able to ensure that everyone is safe while they're walking, cycling, or motoring on our roadways. Bayshore, in my opinion, what's going to slow people down, I mean, we can do everything that we want. We have everything possible that we can to make that safer, but you really can't control the bad decisions that everyone is going to make. We have what we call the three E's in traffic control, and that is education, engineering, and enforcement. And we have done so much to educate our public. Engineering, we're doing that on Bayshore. Unfortunately, those projects take a while. We have, in my opinion, the answer to Bayshore is to break it up. And we are putting a traffic signal at Euclid and Bayshore that's already been in the works for several months, and then Rome and Bayshore as well. And that way it will prohibit individuals from getting up to those speeds that we've seen of 80 and 100 miles an hour along that roadway. A lot of people have suggested speed bumps. Bayshore is designated as an arterial roadway by the state, and that prohibits any type of speed bumps. So it would require that we get a different designation for Bayshore. I'm working with THEA, which is the Expressway Authority, and trying to get all of the MacDill Air Force Base traffic off of Bayshore and up onto the expressway. And they're working on, they have a program in the works where they're going to basically give the ride from downtown on the expressway to MacDill Air Force Base for free. I did look at temporarily closing Bayshore, the waterside lanes, a portion of Nuccio Parkway over by Ybor City, and a portion of Tampa Bay Boulevard by the stadium to open that up for recreational opportunities for our community during this virus, but ultimately decided against that in each case because as I'm encouraging everyone to stay home and to exercise in their neighborhood, to invite individuals out into a public location where I really feel that we're going to have to go in the opposite direction of what you heard on the talk shows last night about opening up the country. I feel that we're going to have to ratchet down on the stay at home, on wearing masks, on social distancing, more so before we get through the darker periods of this virus.
I've talked to a lot of people who say that one of the few places to recreate in Tampa is Bayshore Boulevard. And they say that the reason why there's so many crowds on Bayshore Boulevard is that everybody's packed along on the sidewalk. And if you opened up at least half of Bayshore Boulevard, people wouldn't be so crowded, and they could maintain physical or social distancing. And that's their reason for saying just open up half of it to be a linear park.
Right, I understand that, and we have officers assigned out there that are monitoring the Riverwalk and Bayshore as well, and trying to discourage individuals. We put signage out there reminding about the 6-foot distance separation, and then also signage, again, encouraging everyone to exercise in their own neighborhoods. And Bayshore is not the only answer, neither is the Riverwalk. We have a number of trails, both biking and running walking trails, that are open in our community. You can go on tampagov.net and see all of those opportunities that are open. One of the main open air is along the causeway, and that's a very long stretch there that's wide open, and it is a much larger space than you would find along Bayshore. Again, just trying to encourage everyone to stay in their neighborhoods and exercise, or choose these locations that may not be as heavily populated as Bayshore. You know, it certainly breaks my heart to think of the poor family that lost their life on Bayshore. We had another pedestrian fatality early the next morning out on Adamo Drive. And, you know, in each of those crashes, there's usually some type of a bad decision made on someone's part. And quite often, as we saw in Bayshore, innocent individuals lose their lives and their families are, you know, just devastated beyond anyone's imagination, unless you've been in that position. And trust me, I've seen it too many times in my 31 years as a police officer. And one of the reasons I take this so seriously is because I've had to knock on those doors and tell people that their loved one is not coming home because of something that was preventable out on our roadways. And so, you know, everyone, all of our citizens have my word that this will be a main focus of my administration.
This is Tampa Mayor Jane Castor, formerly the Chief of Police of Tampa. I just want to go back to the enforcement of social distancing. How is the police, what marching orders does the police department have about arresting people and keeping the social separations going? How tough is the police department supposed to be on people that get closer than 6 feet?
Right. Well, just to back up a little bit, from the safer at home, you know, there are those essential needs that, you know, everyone can avail themselves to, going to the grocery store, the pharmacy, you know, those types of things that you have to do. But again, I ask everyone to look to have groceries delivered, or at the very least, ordering them online and then having someone put them in your cart and leaving the open stores to individuals that don't have that Wi-Fi access. But there are a lot of ways around getting out in the public, even for those essential needs. And then next is the essential services. And that opens up many more questions than there are answers for. So I try to simplify it by telling everyone that if the job you perform, the service that you provide, if you can do that while maintaining a 6-foot distance separation, then you're okay. And clearly there are exceptions in the health profession, those types of things. But really, as a general rule, that's the best way to look at it. And I also let everyone know that it shouldn't come down to questions about enforcement. This is an issue of personal responsibility for each and every one of our citizens to do everything in their power to avoid transmitting or contracting this deadly virus. Our law enforcement officers have, they didn't have to be told. They knew that their position was education and encouragement. And so if they see individuals that are in close proximity, or, you know, we get calls about businesses where they have people working in close proximity, so we send an officer by to have those discussions with individuals and to ensure that if they weren't exercising their level of personal responsibility, that they will from that point forward. So there aren't any citations or arrests that are going to be made unless there's some type of a flagrant violation that puts our community in immediate danger.
St. Petersburg announced today it was giving $5,000 grants to local businesses because of this, the economic crisis that we're having, businesses having to shut down. You mentioned that you're going to have some sort of program next week, an announcement. Will you have grants to give to local businesses who have been forced to shut down?
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
And that will be rolled out next week. You know, when I asked my team to put this in place, you know, it's easier said than done when you think about that. But they are working. They've been working literally day and night on this program and the implementation of it. And we're working with a series of different groups, mainly through the Crisis Center. Their 211 number, Clara Reynolds and her team are simply amazing. And so we're funneling a lot of the calls through that agency, and then we'll be providing individual grants that will take care of rent and mortgages and electricity and those types of needs, and then the same thing for our small businesses in the community. Again, taking care of those immediate needs while everyone's awaiting the release of this federal funding and state funding.
Mayor, I know you're busy, but we've got every line lit. Could you take one phone call?
Sure.
Okay, so this the caller is one of the activists on the Bayshore Boulevard issue. Shelley Reback is on the phone from Tampa. Shelley, thanks for coming on. What's your question for the mayor?
Hey, Mayor, thank you so much, first of all, for your leadership on getting our county shut down. We really appreciate that. And in light of that, I wanted to bring to your attention the fact that there's a new study out of Belgium. It's a joint Belgian-Dutch study that said that the distance that's being recommended between people walking, running, or biking in the same direction of 6 feet is insufficient to really protect people in the slipstream from someone who coughs or sneezes, who's COVID, who's got COVID and may not know it, and may be a shedder. And that just did, and so for health reasons, I'm wondering that this study recommends much greater distances than 6 feet for people moving in the same direction along a pathway, and says that people in the slipstream are in danger from the people in front of them. And that, for health reasons, it seems to me that we need to have that sidewalk on the Bayshore expanded. I wonder if you've given any thought to the health reasons beyond just the safety, traffic safety reasons.
Yes. Yes, Shelley, and point well taken. And that's something that I've had personal conversations with a number of the retailers, larger retailers, mostly groceries, in our community about making the aisles one way. And I agree with you. We have spent many hours on what we could do to break up the sidewalk on Bayshore as well, you know, to keep individuals that may be on bicycles or rollerblading, you know, off of that sidewalk as well, and then allowing the pedestrians to be further apart. But we have gone round and round on those potential solutions, but always landing back on, while not perfect, the best approach is to encourage everyone to exercise in their own neighborhood. If you don't live along Bayshore, don't drive down there. And then even staying off of those sidewalks and wearing masks when you're out in the public. The only reason that I haven't taken steps towards ordering the wearing of masks and raising that with the emergency policy group is that the availability of them. You know, if I look at that just from a city standpoint, I would have to provide approximately 2,500 masks a day just for our first responders and our essential workers that are out there on the street every single day providing the needed services. So I do understand, I agree completely, that the distance separation, especially when you're in opposite directions, needs to be more than 6 feet. And again, I think a lot of that goes back to the personal responsibility, especially if you may be in one of those high-risk categories. And there are individuals that are dying from this virus that don't fit those original parameters, that they don't have diabetes, hypertension, they don't have those types of ailments, and there isn't any scientific answer to why those individuals are dying. So that's something that, you know, we have to be concerned with as well, is that just because you're young and healthy doesn't necessarily mean that you're immune completely to the effects of this virus.
I have a follow-up, Mayor. Thank you. With regard to that, the Bayshore sidewalk is just a narrow strip, as is the Riverwalk. We've closed most of the parks, or all of the city parks, and I wonder if maybe just making available those narrow walkways for people where they can't avoid the slipstream of the people in front of them is you know, the best thing to do. Maybe I'm wondering if it wouldn't make more sense if we just opened up the parks and let people have more places to recreate, or if we closed the Bayshore and the Riverwalk altogether as well as the parks, because I live right off the Bayshore and I can tell you I don't see enforcement of the social distancing out there. And, you know, I'm concerned that people may think if they're 6 feet behind someone that they're in good shape, and that's apparently not the scientific case.
I agree, Shelley, and I think that the latter is probably going to be the answer more quickly than the first one, because we tried to leave the parks open, but, you know, people were coming out and still getting involved in those activities that brought them into close proximity with, you know, playing basketball, football, those types of things. And so that's why the decision was made to close the parks. And we literally took down tennis nets, basketball nets, you know, the things that we could do to discourage that. And we did want to leave those paths open that, you know, along Courtney Campbell Causeway, Bayshore, the Riverwalk, and there's six or eight others that are available, some out in the New Tampa area and then throughout our community that are walking and biking and running paths. And, you know, that may be the answer as well, as if we don't see this level of personal responsibility, because it isn't, you know, it can't all be left up to the government. We've got to, as a community, and I think that the vast, vast majority of people are stepping up, and those who aren't just may not understand the severity of it. So I hear you.
Shelley, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mayor. In New York, there are fines being imposed. Do you think that would help make people more responsible?
Well, you know, that's a last resort right there, is to be giving fines. Those are the individuals that just won't listen. It's not that they just don't understand the severity. They've been educated, and they're still ignoring. And so I don't know that we have the density that I hope. And I hope that our citizens are much more responsible than that we get to the point of enforcement.
Shelley, thanks a lot. Thanks for your call. Mayor, you wanted to warn people, too, about scams.
There's, you know, with any type of an incident, there are scams out there. I can't tell you. I said that apparently everyone in Florida has realized, one, they have a basement, and two, it's full of N95 masks. I can't tell you how many people I have had literally contact me directly that just have an endless supply of PPE and N95 masks. So there are going to be a lot of scams that are associated with this relief funding that's coming. specifically in the form of individual checks that are being sent. So the easiest way to address this is that if anyone contacts you about a government check, then ignore it. You know, if it's a phone call, hang up. If it's an email, delete it, because there is no way, even for a fee, that these checks are going to be rushed along to anyone. The IRS will not call you and ask you for pertinent information. No one should call you and ask you for identifying information, your name, your Social Security number, bank account information. If anyone asks you for that, you need to hang up and report that immediately.
Mayor Jane Castor, thank you so much for coming on WMNF.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, great to talk to you. That's the mayor of Tampa, Jane Castor, heading up the Tampa response to the coronavirus epidemic. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I mentioned the St. Petersburg Fund, and they're calling their fund for local businesses, small businesses that are locally owned, the Fighting Chance Fund. And if you want to find out more, applications are being taken starting today. And you can call 727-893-7465 for more information. Also, Sean Canana is reporting that two more Hillsborough County residents have tested positive for COVID-19 and have died. This brings the number of deaths to 9 in Hillsborough County. The Florida Department of Health in Hillsborough County expresses their condolences about this. So the death toll is up in Hillsborough County. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Chris in St. Pete says speeding on Bayshore Boulevard could easily be controlled by parking 5 police cars with a dummy officer along the route and numerous signs that say speed controlled by radar and speeding fines doubled, writes Chris in St. Pete. And then Blanny writes this: what about mobile testing? Implementing mobile testing, this would be a good way to reach underserved areas, and people without a vehicle would also likely be safer for the nurses handling the testing, writes Blanny. Thank you, Blanny, for that. Wendell writes this: Bayshore is a beautiful thoroughfare that should not be interrupted by stop signs or stop lights or speed bumps. If you've ever traveled to cities around the world that have beautiful esplanades, it's so much fun leisurely cruising these boulevards without traffic controls. One solution, like in many countries, put a booth or two that house a traffic officer on Bayshore. The officer in the booth is there to monitor traffic and speed violators, use discretion, and issue fines where necessary. That's Wendell's idea out there. I can say that I've driven on Bayshore about a million times, it seems. And every time I'm on Bayshore, I see people speeding 100% of the time that I'm on Bayshore. Margaret writes this: in January, I had a scary experience with racers on the Howard Franklin when headed east to west. Cars suddenly corralled me while all doing 65 miles an hour, forcing me to slow practically to a stop, and then they took off racing. Other cars proceeded to do the same. At first, I had no idea what was going on. I called the highway patrol, and the dispatcher asked for car descriptions and sounded frustrated, as if saying, "Here we go again." Yeah, there are racers on the Howard Franklin Bridge and on the Gandy Bridge. When I see it, it happens at night. That's when I see it. And Gabrielle writes, given the push for safer at home and lower income families struggling to find homes where they can do so, what will Tampa initiate to offer affordable housing, writes Gabrielle. How can Tampa, starting today, offer programs that get construction workers building homes, apartments, etc., that they themselves could rent or one day own? The key being affordable. Gabrielle, thanks a lot. There is an affordable housing project going on across Tampa. How extensive it is, I see these affordable homes going up. I don't know. I'll have to find somebody who's an expert on that. I should have asked the mayor. She only had a limited amount of time, but thank you very much for that question, Gabrielle. Thanks to Julie, our phone producer today. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about on extension 115. If you've got ideas about what to do about making Tampa safer, making it safer health-wise and travel-wise, call that number, 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. We're going to get the latest news from NPR in just a moment. Remember, at 3:30, Sean Canan will have the latest news here about what's going on in Hillsborough County and Pinellas County and around the Tampa Bay area. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.